Okay, I think you can start with your question, Phil, now.
We were talking yesterday about rupas, and I was wondering, are rupas the same here in the beautiful place in the countryside, in the lovely countryside and in the heart of the busy city?
Doesn't rupa arise and fall away too? Each split second. So each one is not the same one at all. Never the same. No matter here or there. Just that which impinge on the eye sense has arisen and fallen away.
They're always different everywhere.
Yeah. Never come back, each one. And that's the meaning of khanda.
All of the khandas.
Khanda passed away, never come back.
And the khandas always arise together, is that?
Each one is one khanda.
Okay. Khanda doesn't mean like a group of...
They arise together, but each of them is a khanda, not the same one.
Each rupa is a khanda that is different from each other rupa.
And each rupa always arises together with a group of eight, I think.
At least.
It's hard to understand how, I think it's flavor that arises with every group of rupa, for example, or taste, I think, oh, that's the same one, arises with every...
Mm-hmm. Like visible object now.
When I met Robert in Tokyo one time, we were at the very busiest area in Tokyo. It's very famous for the lights and the noise. And I said, how does it feel coming from Fukuoka, where he lives, which is a smaller town? And he said, it's just the same, just visible object and the sound.
But you didn't believe me.
At that, well, part of me, there was some belief there. Yeah.
When there's no thinking, everything appears as it is.
Yes.
But then we make it different through our defilements and the proliferations. Okay.
And there's always going to be thinking, always, unless, well, even after there's understanding, it'll be followed by thinking.
Yes. Understanding is thinking as well. Because at that time there must be vitakka cetasika and other cetasika, which performs its function.
Is some kind of thinking more harmful than others?
Akusa thinking is harmful.
Ill will.
Right.
Lust.
Without understanding or awareness, we wouldn't know there was attachment.
When it is attachment, it's not thinking, because attachment can be attached to rupas too, without thinking. The visible object.
Can you explain that?
Attachment to visible object.
Yeah. So. When the rupa hasn't fallen away yet.
Yes.
Yeah. No thinking yet. But according to cetasika, there is vitakka cetasika, after seeing consciousness. But it's not thinking in words.
Even if the rupa hasn't fallen away yet.
How long does rupa
17
last?
17 moments of jitta.
Yeah.
And is there no thinking in there?
Not through the mind process.
Right, it'd be the next process that was thinking. Okay.
And a couple of years ago, I heard you say, what is the use of knowing kusala from akusala if we don't know that all dhammas are not self? And I feel that even before we understand not self, we can understand other aspects of wrong view about kusala and akusala, and that we can, by avoiding akusala kamapata, even without understanding of anatta, it can protect us from sliding down into
Woeful planes.
Well, the woeful planes are to be avoided. May I quote something that I really found inspirational in Perfections? I hope I can find it. I've got so many things written here. But I really like this because I felt, Ajahn, that it was very stirring to me. Let's see if I can find it. Well, basically, I think what you said is we have to turn away from akusala immediately, because if we don't, it will be too late, as it has been lifetime after lifetime. And for me, that meant too late in this lifetime. So it spoke to me at my level of understanding in a more conventional way about behavior. And I found it very encouraging to me. And I think it will help me to remember to turn away from akusala.
With the understanding of no self, or with the idea of self?
Self would be involved, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is understanding realities. Otherwise, there must be I all the time, good or bad.
But I feel understanding realities, our level of understanding now, I feel the Buddha offers protection at a conventional level to people so that they can...
Not only that.
No, not only that, of
More
course.
Than that.
But again, as I said this afternoon, maybe we all have a degree of kusala that is suitable for our understanding.
Not enough.
Not enough, mm-hmm. No. No, not enough, but a beginning, I think. And a way of not...
Yeah, and the beginning should be the beginning of understanding reality or just follow the sila.
Beginning of...
Understanding.
That's why I like to listen to what you say and listen to... On the internet group, I've been critical, but all the time I've always said that I appreciate that there's something about your teaching and something about DSG that is different from anywhere else I find.
Because it includes all levels of kusala.
Yeah.
But the point is understanding reality.
Yeah.
But I think Phil's feeling is that because of the tendency to strong akusala, that if there isn't some shelter or protection from some very strong warnings to avoid akusala, that just to hear about paramatta dharmas doesn't really emphasize the danger or harm strongly enough. Is that correct, Phil?
Yes, and it just seems to me that the Buddha, of course we're not the Buddha, so we don't know people's accumulations, but the Buddha was able to recognize if people had the level of understanding that was ready to absorb the deeper teachings, and if he determined that they weren't, he would teach at a more conventional level.
Even there is no enlightenment of Buddha or anyone, the elements are the elements. So there are elements of wholesome and element of unwholesomeness. So to understand all as elements must be better than just having elements, condition, unwholesomeness or wholesomeness.
I was wondering today why akusala kamapata is taught in terms of conventional things like stealing and killing.
Because they are like that. Without words, how can we express the level of akusala of that degree?
Some people think conventional words have no relation to the ultimate, but of course they do.
Mm. How would you describe stealing in paramatta dharmas?
I was thinking about that. The Buddha could talk about cittas accompanied by certain chattasikas of a certain intensity.
That,
he did.
But it's stealing or other levels of akusala, same cittas, but it's still different.
I think Phil's other concern in this area is that perhaps it's okay for some of us who are not likely to be involved in killing or stealing or other gross akusala kamapata to just hear about paramatta dharmas, but he has an interest in different kinds of charita, and maybe for some people who have different kinds of accumulations, they need to hear different kinds of reminders first. Is that right, Phil?
I do wonder about the charita, and I...
Usually there is thinking more than understanding, because just listen to one word and we think a lot. For example, charita. Is there no charita right now? To understand whatever it is, not just there are many charitas and we have to follow all of them to understand them all, but actually, is there no charita right now? At moment of having kusala, is it not one of the charita?
Yeah, the charita, the six roots in different balances.
There must be
character.
And I create a story about myself that I have a very strong lopa I think of myself almost like in a past life, I might have been a dog that was just always eating and sniffing things and just...
One life, or more than one life?
Many. Yeah, and that's just a story about myself, but we have to understand our defilements, and having understanding of our defilements is gradual, and I think I'm moving in that direction. And it's not just a story, it's also, there's some degree of understanding my, well, they're not my defilements, but the defilements.
There were many people in the past who could remember past life, mm-hmm. but no understanding of the arising and falling away of realities right now at all. So there can be life after life without understanding realities at all. So it's time to develop the understanding of realities right now. The best thing in one's life, to live for the arising of Panya.
It seems to me that there are so many opportunities in a day to be aware of defilements, that they don't have to appear at a really gross level, but my experience is there are many opportunities, and it's like becoming familiar with their characteristics. It may involve thinking about being angry, or thinking about being greedy, or thinking about having some ill will. But there is still that acknowledgement that, yeah, my life is full of this. But it's full of it in the sense that acknowledging that then allows me to study it, or it allows the opportunity for it to be studied. Not for me to study, but... So I suppose that it's almost like being truthful in the first instance.
And the other comment that came up yesterday in the discussion on this topic was related to when we say that awareness anytime, daily life, regardless of occupation or activity or place or time. Phil's comment was that it depends on the field, I think. For example, if it is a criminal or someone involved in killing in their lifestyle or something like this. Would you like to ask it?
Well, yes, I know there's a famous story of the murderer, I forget his name,
who
became enlightened. But I sometimes feel that we cling to that story too much. And I think if people are swept up in transgression, I just can't understand how they can be saved.
but they are you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes.
You mean if someone's living a bad life, that's going to hinder any sati rising, you think? That's a question for you then, Arjun. Is that true?
About them or about who?
Say I was living a wild life, drinking, partying, only that. Is that going to stop sati rising?
It doesn't matter at all, because there is no understanding about realities. No matter this or that, high or low, good or bad.
Even I stay home and don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's clearly stated the conditions for arising of sati and panya, the four, those four, association with the wise and hearing the teachings and all that. So it's not, as you're saying, someone with a particular temperament or strong akusla is unlikely to have. Had such strong akusla, but he got to hear the Dhamma, and in spite of that strong akusla, he got enlightened.
And that's the reason why Buddha taught us about realities. No matter in this life or previous life or next life, anyone can hear about the teachings on and on. Even one has done very bad deeds like Ankimala, but still there are conditions for understanding reality.
But don't we want to avoid akusala kamapata?
Or don't we avoid understanding reality?
But I feel sometimes, as I was saying today, we can be attracted to the idea
it's
of understanding.
Reality. It's reality that can be known now, otherwise there will be no time to know it at all. If we keep on about thinking this better than that, because reality is not easy to discern. For example, when we hear about the nature of citta, everyone has that reality which experiences an object. But is that just understanding theoretically, or really discern the nature which now experience an object? And if we keep on thinking about other things, there's no condition to come closer to understand this moment, the reality which is now experiences an object.
Woeful plains.
Yeah.
The human status, the human birth is very rare and precious. I've heard that if we lose the human status, to regain it, I like the simile of the yolk floating on the surface of the sea and the blind sea turtle. That simile says to me that we have something that we should really appreciate and maybe even cling to, and I know I'm clinging to it, but I can't laugh at the idea of the woeful plains. I don't sit around fearing them either, but I like to be, I like to aspire. I aspire, well, I think there are teachings that say that if we aspire to human rebirth or we aspire to a heavenly rebirth,
when we really see the danger of the blind turtles, it's time now to understand reality. It means that one really see the danger.
Yeah, that's...
Can't get away from right now.
Yeah, and not many opportunity to hear about realities right now.
Well, I won't go into the details of yesterday, but I was worried about transgression yesterday, and I did have a kind of understanding last night that it really is the understanding of this moment that's going to protect me from transgression, not any intention to avoid it or any dream of it. I am beginning to understand that.
By conditions. So one sees that all realities are conditioned, no matter thinking wisely or unwisely, with panya or without panya. No self at all. No one.
And then there was the point which you touched on at lunchtime, but it's good for people who weren't here, and we said we'd discuss it in more detail. That's always concerned you about when someone has transgressed or committed serious akusala karma pata, and your comment is, well, it's gone, what about now, what about this moment? And it seems to some friends, like Phil, that just to say it's gone is not helpful, I think.
It's gone.
Well, no, it's not gone. It's accumulated. It's not gone.
I mean, that moment is gone. It's
but the karma's not gone.
So, where was it?
Where was it? It was a moment ago. It was when the deed was committed. And the karma has been planted, the seed has been planted, and the fruits of that seed will grow or be result someday. So don't we want to grow less dangerous seeds that are going to harm us in future lifetimes?
With attachment to have it, or with understanding that it's the way it is?
Understanding is best, of course, but even with attachment, I would rather avoid transgression with attachment and do a deed that will
bear. So the only thing is to understand reality.
I think, Phil, the concern is a kind of fear that if we just say, well, it's gone, and how about now, seeing now, hearing now, and there isn't sufficient reflection on why those acts or deeds were harmful, that it's more likely that the same thing will happen again. So it's a fear of further transgression. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, yes. When I read Anguttara Nikaya, I feel the suttas in Anguttara Nikaya speak a lot to householders. I think of the two elderly men who came to the Buddha near the end of their lives, and they are told by the Buddha, you failed to do good deeds to give yourself a shelter, and they wept. And I guess I don't want to be in that situation.
People are different. Someone, when they hear about the teachings, after that they think suddenly about themselves. I, previously and today and next. But there are people who just read with understanding and do not mind at all, because they are all elements, the way the elements keep on going by conditions.
So you're saying that for some people, when they're hearing the teachings, actually that hearing is a condition for more self-attachment than before, that instead of leading to more detachment and understanding, one can hear the same words or read the same suttas, but it can actually condition more clinging to oneself, wanting to be more wholesome, wanting to have more sati, dwelling more on one's own akusala.
Don't you see many serious Buddhists like that, that are really uptight? Their life becomes more uptight than they were before, right?
I think this came up in the session last Saturday, the real concern about oneself and one's kusala. So it's actually just more and more attachment to oneself that's being accumulated in the name of understanding.
Sometimes I come to the conclusion, but I'm not sure now, that these people, they appreciate the harm of akusala, other kinds of akusala, but not of self-view. Would that be correct?
And what's the point of studying the teachings?
To understand that there's no self.
To understand reality right now, and they keep away from it by thinking about themselves.